Welcome to Klein's Corner with me, your host, Lynn Klein. Here you'll hear from the characters of the city who give the city its character. My guest today is Louisa Kulker. She's a Santa Fe shamanic psychotherapist. Welcome, Louisa.
Hi, Lynn. Happy to be here.
Great to have you here. We're going to have a fascinating conversation, I know. let's start off by, let me ask you first about what is a shamanic psychotherapist or psychotherapy?
So it's a blend of shamanism and psychotherapy. I've put them the two together. Shamanism refers to cross-cultural earth-based practices that have been practiced by human beings for 60,000 plus years on every continent on this planet. And shamanism refers to the ability to be in relationship with non-physical dimensions. So that's the shamanism part, and that's I trained, I'll tell you later on about that, but I trained in how to develop my ability to be in conversation and in relationship with spiritual dimensions. And then the psychotherapy part is what most of us are more familiar with, and that is finding, let's say, skillful emotional techniques to help us to become happier people, but also to become more in touch with what is really going on in us, so that we're not sort of blindly acting out habitual behaviors and then scratching our heads in wonderment about, well, I did this and then this happened, why? So I've put these two together. So it's a way of really grounding the techniques and philosophies of psychotherapy into the body, because that is another important facet of shamanism, is that it's very connected with being in the body and utilizing the body's natural ability to access ecstatic states. Ecstatic meaning being able to expand beyond the usual static habitual states that we're used to.
Right. That makes sense. And that's what a unique combination of two different practices. Are other people doing this as well, or is this something that you invented or created on your own?
You know, there are some other people who are doing this, and I think it's not so surprising because they really complement each other. One is very sort of introspective, going into one's ability to observe the mind, and the other is reconnecting with the body, reconnecting with the earth. And I think that's a part of psychotherapy, at least, you know, over the past 30, 40 years, that has not been emphasized as much, although recently with people like Peter Levine and Bessel van der Kolk, who work with trauma, the body is being rediscovered as the most important component of recovery from trauma.
Yes, and we are going to talk about that later today too, because that's on the forefront in the news, and everybody's been watching and thinking about this. So it's important that we look at that. But before we do, from your website, I read that you your mission is to sort of assist others in transforming these self-defeating patterns, which many can come from trauma, into joyful, passionate authenticity, and to transform pain into grace. And I just love that. I think that's a beautiful way of describing a journey, you know, that every human needs to make at some point, because we all have pain, you know.
That's right. And to be human is to experience pain. And I also believe that to be human is to find truly beautiful and almost magical in the sense of wondrous ways to transform it, so that we're not just slogging along in our human storyline with no hope of recovering some kind of original sense of joy or wonder. There are ways to reconnect with that. And I like to use the word transform, and it's a very popular word right now. But I'd like to tell you why I use that word.
Yes, please.
Transforming pain into grace. Is that what I'm saying?
Yes, exactly. Pain into grace.
So I want to make sure I'm quoting myself properly. So One of the ways that a shamanic approach informs a psychotherapeutic approach is that we know that in the natural world, nothing is wasted. You know, apples fall from the tree, they fall on the ground. You and I might go and pick a few and take them home. But if we leave that tree and those apples to follow their natural course, those apples will, you know, degrade and compost into the earth. So with the work that I do, I'd like to emphasize that we don't get rid of any part of ourselves. We come into relationship with it because it is through relationship that parts of ourselves or even disturbing parts of our past can become transformed. We want the original life force energy that's in even our wounds. There is aliveness in there. Otherwise, our wounds would not hurt. If they did not have aliveness and power in them, our wounds would not hurt or be a problem.
And also, I mean, as a frequent saying is you never can really leave the past behind, but you integrate it. And the lessons that we take from those things that we need to overcome, or at least integrate into our souls, our spirits, are important. You know, we couldn't grow without them. So
that's right.
That's a brilliant way of describing that with the apples. Yeah, that makes it very clear.
And integration to me happens through love. Integration of parts of the self, integration of shadow and light. It happens through love, and love is not something that is easily come by when we have had very strong disturbing, traumatic experiences. So that's part of what I emphasize in my workshops and in my sessions, is that we're cultivating and developing our ability to feel tenderly towards our vulnerable selves.
Yeah, almost like, you know, the inner child, embracing the inner child, which is your younger self. Vulnerable, naive. So.
That's right. Yeah. And especially in the 90s, that's, you know, John Bradshaw's work really, and the work of Pia Melody and people, you know, of that movement really helped us to be aware. Well, we still have, that child has not gone anywhere. It's in you. Here's the part that is more problematic, especially in the New Age subculture, is how to love that part of yourself that is really unpleasant. And how to have boundaries with it, how to, in a sense, really reparent it from something that's even bigger than a parenting consciousness in yourself. And I call that, let's say, beyond parenting self, I call that your fully blossomed self. Because it's even more expansive and more capable of compassion and understanding than our functional adult selves.
Right. And we could all use that today, because once you can embrace those aspects of yourself, right, you, I'm assuming, can then embrace them in others.
That's right.
For example, people who you don't agree with. you know, I mean, really, there's a really clear line that's cut our country in half, and we have to learn somehow to get over that line and
right.
You know, reunite. So that's something you can do with this same exercises about learning those dark sides of yourself to love those, I'm guessing.
It begins with being relational with oneself. And to me, that's the huge disconnect that's happening in our polarized country right now, is that rather than having an ability to hold with, to be with these turbulent polarities within oneself, within myself, what's happening in this country a lot that I experience is that people need to discharge that. They want to like push it out of themselves. And energy that is pushed out of the self before it is fully metabolized and processed is raw. And raw emotion can be a very destructive force. So a lot of what I've been working on myself and with my clients, especially in the past 2 years, has been how to learn how to abide in a compassionate, real, grounded relationship with oneself, with myself. I always like to bring it back to me because I am included in this assignment, in this spiritual assignment of how do I regulate, how do I manage and be present with the turbulence in myself and not just throw that out, because what we've seen, how many, we see so many examples of people simply exploding their unprocessed emotions out, and it becomes quite toxic.
Right, and toxic, and also it has it influences others. You know, not just toxic to yourself, but to others around you, and then they take some of that on as well. And so, you know, could that be the reason? Some of the reason behind why we see so many gun shootings, you know, in schools and all over this country in these recent years, is because it's raw and it's not being addressed.
That, of course, is a huge question, huge issue.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that where a person or the population of a country does not have the emotional skills to self-soothe and to be relational with that truly scared or angry part of oneself, that when in the absence of that, that yes, guns can be and want an expression mm-hmm. of that pushing outward, that discharging of unprocessed emotion.
Raw, completely
yeah.
raw. Right. Wow. I can think of quite a few people in certain positions of power who could use some of a session or two with you, or maybe a lot more than that. And speaking of that, we were talking a little bit before the show started. You were mentioning that your work has changed. You know, things have happened to your work since the current president was elected. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, and in talking about this, we can actually put politics to the side, because okay. what has changed in my practice, or let's say been intensified, has been that the conversation about sexual and emotional abuse, narcissism, and the invalidation of that people, and especially women, but it's, I want to say it's not just exclusively women. I work with both men and women, and since the election in 2016, a lot of what has come up in my sessions and even in my workshops and ceremonies has been that there's almost been like this homeopathic effect of having someone who is in office in the White House who has quite made it quite clear that that sexual predation is okay, that can be just sort of a joke. It's a locker room joke, but that has had a homeopathic effect on the ways in which my clients felt abused, invalidated, but especially dismissed and diminished in their experience of having been violated.
Mm-hmm.
And so in quite a paradoxical way, I have watched my clients make incredible, I would say, quantum strides in healing some of this material, because it's been dredged up. It's up, it's at the surface, and it's been terribly painful. I mean, I always marvel at the incredible strength that people have within themselves. Hmm. People so want to grow and to heal. Again, referencing nature, things want to grow. Plants want to grow. Life is such a, we have such a hunger for life. And so this is something I've been seeing in the past 2 years. I have to say it's been more intensely present. It's not like it hasn't been there in the past 28 years where I've been
right.
practicing.
But more, very obvious and transforming pain into grace.
Yes.
Which, you know, more maybe perhaps, as you were saying, more quickly or more, you know, in a healthier way, more fully, you know, because of what's been going on.
Yeah, and in a safe space. I mean, that's one of the built-in healing qualities of a healing practice, whether it's, you know, massage therapy or psychotherapy or shamanic work, is that you're in a safe space. or you should be.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we won't mention that recent arrest of that guy.
Right. No, we won't.
Okay.
Another time.
Right.
But ideally, and most of the time, you're in a space that is a healthy contradiction to the toxicity that one originally experienced at the time of violation, abuse, assault.
Right, yeah. Right. And with this, you know, current current confirmation hearings of the Supreme Court justice, the proposed Supreme Court justice, I'm sure you have heard from clients who are dealing with this, because watching this has been incredibly painful.
Indeed.
Even for people who haven't gone through that, you know, to listen to Dr. Ford's testimony and the empathy we have for her. So I'm sure that's been something where you've been able to help people deal with this trauma that is being dredged up through these hearings.
Yes. So I've been practicing shamanic work, and then laterally psychotherapy. The laterally part is 20 years. So shamanic work, 30 years. Wow. Psychotherapy, 20. Never in that amount of time has the healing process been so political as it is now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And who could have ever imagined that we would be here?
It's quite amazing. I mean, I think it's an incredible time. It's a terrible time. It is a time of profound and dynamic growth and healing for those who are on that particular path.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to let the listeners know that you can go to Luisa's website, Luisa Kolker, that's LuisaKolker.com, to learn more about her work, as well as her workshops, her mentorships, and sessions with her. If anybody feels the need and is suffering with what's happening right now and how it's affecting you, she would be a wonderful resource. So again, that's LuisaKolker.com. And you also do ceremonies, and you do different things that you open up to the public as well. For example, so you just did the equinox ceremony, and you'll be doing one for the winter solstice. So people can check your website to get information for upcoming.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. And you'll see there's a pop-up to join my newsletter there. And
great.
And I'll keep you informed.
Wonderful. So let me ask you, because I'd love to hear your story, your journey into becoming a shamanic psychotherapist. I know that you started, it's in your family lineage. So in the little bit of time we have left, tell us about your journey here.
Yeah, so I have had I've had experiences of non-physical dimensions since I was 6 months old. And yes, it's hard to believe that. And my mom didn't believe that when I told her when I was 10 years old, I started telling her some of my recall from when I was 6 months old and talking with spirits and so forth. Now, my mom is from Mexico, and her mother was a physician, the first female physician in Mexico and in Central America. And my great-grandmother was a curandera in Nicaragua.
Wow.
So I have that part of my lineage. And then my dad was an MD psychiatrist of Russian Jewish extraction.
Wow.
So I really had to learn how to bridge
the balance.
Uh-huh. It's almost like left brain and right brain. And I was born with the ability to see, to have inner sight that ran through my mother's side of the family. So I would say it started there. It's not an easy thing, and maybe some of your listeners will relate to this. It's not an easy thing in this society to have that kind of an ability, and unless it is somehow really held and somehow protected, it can easily spiral into what we know as mental illness, into depression or other kinds of mental
mania
illnesses,
right.
Yeah, or hallucination. I mean, I had visual and auditory hallucinations. However, I knew that I knew on a deep level that I was not mentally ill or crazy. So anyway,
thank God you knew that.
I did, but I was very much on my own with that, and that's why I have a particular empathy and compassion for people who've struggled with these kinds of sensitivities without any kind of mentorship or validation. It requires extraordinary courage. I'm not saying that to pat myself on the shoulder. I'm just saying I think maybe I developed courage because I had to deal with these intense inner experiences.
Right.
Long story short, in my 20s, I took a trip. I made a journey to the island of Ibiza in Spain and met a woman who was, I would call her really a master healer, and she invited me to apprentice with her, which I did one-on-one for 5 years, and that changed my life.
Wow. Wow. And you said 5 years you were there?
Yes.
And then you made your way to Santa Fe, which is a perfect place, I think, for the kind of healing that you do. And you must have a wonderful array of people that you work with.
I do. An international array. And thank goodness I was born into this age of the internet and
right.
video calls, because I would not be able to reach the people that I'm reaching now, even 20 years ago.
Wow, that's amazing. What would you say in just the 30 seconds we have left? What's the biggest challenge in this career that you have?
I'd say the biggest challenge has been that everything that I help my clients with is something that I have gone through, that life has brought to me personally. And so when people sometimes, and sometimes in Santa Fe especially, people say, "Ooh, I think I'm a shaman," or "my psychic told me I'm a shaman," and I'll just, kind of put up my fingers in the sign of a cross and go, "No, don't ever wish that." And by the way, I do not call myself a shaman.
Okay.
I am a shamanic practitioner.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So
all right.
That's
good.
What I would say.
Well, you, again, can go to Luisa's website and learn more about this fascinating work that she does, luisacolker.com. Thank you so much for joining me today, Luisa. It's been wonderful having you.
It's been great, Lynn. Thank you.
All right. And thanks for tuning in today to Client's Corner. Tune in again next week, same time, same station, and I'll see you on the radio. Bye.